Transmission begins in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're listening to the voice of the Remnant Radio Network, hosted by Survival 401k founder and economist Ross Powell and founder of Homegrown Prepper and political commentator Chris Baucom. Thank you for tuning in. This is a collaboration of dozens of former watchmen who now recognize the hour is late and the time for sounding the alarm from the rooftops has passed. Our team of contributors and guests, along with your hosts, are passionate and have been called to train up and equip you to stand strong during evil times. If you are here, you are the remnant. The signs are everywhere. Will we survive? The worst could happen. Fortify. Prepare and survive the coming storm, only on Remnant Radio Network. All right, welcome to the Remnant Radio Network podcast. I'm Chris Baucom.
And I'm Ross Powell.
Ross, it's been another incredible week in the news, and we're going to get into all the topics. We're going to talk a little bit about doom and gloom and what's going on in the world and how it relates to your biblical life, your Christian life, and your organization. But first, I want to start off by telling our audience what a special guest we have. He's part of our network and helps spread the word around for survival and important topics that people need to be prepared for, and also to help hold the church together. We have Dr. Mike Spaulding. He was ordained in the ministry in 1998. He is an author and a teacher and a pastor of Calvary Chapel in Lima. Hosts the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, which is a prominent broadcast that goes out weekly as well. He holds an undergraduate degree in organizational management from Bluffton University, has his PhD in apologetics, I believe is what I saw, and that's pretty fascinating. He's got a deep knowledge of biblical and historical precedent and how that applies to the modern church. So, Mike, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you. I know there's so many more details to talk about in terms of your accomplishments in this field and what you're doing to reach other people, but welcome to the show.
Chris and Ross, it's a blessing and an honor to be with you today. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you, Mike. And one thing, Chris, you were saying doom and gloom. I'd like to think about some of these stories about doom and bloom, how it helps our faith bloom when everything else is darkness. We're glowing in the dark. So maybe literally this week, but at the end of the day, help our faith bloom in times of darkness. So I think that's something we want to talk to Mike about, how to our faith grow in times when it seems despair, because it seems like the church Oasis in the past flourished when it's been persecuted the most. And you look over in Africa and other countries, emerging economies, I would call them, and Christianity is growing. So I really think we should talk about that a little bit as well, because when we're the weakest, we're the strongest.
We do have a lot going on out here that leaves us as conservatives and Christians questioning what's happening in the world around us. We question it because we like to be prophetic, and we talked about this in another podcast, the importance of not being too prophetic and focusing on life instead of death. Even though you're preparing for your eternal life, you also have to focus on the living, because there are things that need to happen on this earth first, and they're going to happen on God's timeline. It's not our choice, but we have to be ready to live and spread the word and spread hope. And with all the news that's coming in, about Iran and Syria and North Korea, it leaves us scratching our heads. We see what's going on over in Jerusalem, in Israel. We don't know who's lined up, which powers are supporting the Trump administration, which are against. We speculate about the big families behind that and the money. We don't really know what's going to happen. We just know that you still have to be prepared, and there's nothing wrong with getting yourself ready at this point. I saw that they were sending two more aircraft carriers toward the Korean Peninsula, Ross.
Oh, that's absolute. And I think they're supposed to arrive around the 25th or a week thereafter. I mean, there's a lot of firepower, but there's a lot of firepower underwater. As you and I talked about before, we have boomers, fast attack subs, and I think there's a big impetus or a big search for their diesel boats from North Korea. And so those can be a menacing thing, not just on naval vessels, but on shipping and things of that nature. I mean, you start hitting, what if you start torpedoing oil tankers off the coast of California or the East Coast? What would that do to our environment? There's all kinds of menacing thing these diesel boats can do with just conventional torpedoes, not to mention launching a missile. They could even hide one in a container on a ship. I mean, there's a lot of talk of that. So the North Koreas, even though they're small and they're nuts, at the end of the day, they still got enough to really cause some disruption in our both our economy and our lives. And so that's why I think we all need to be prepared physically. But Chris, like you and I and Mike, you and I talked about it here, the Watchmen, is it's 99% is they'll say in football, 99% head game. But in life, it's 99% faith game. So I think we need to really focus on that. And how do we build our faith? How do you, just like you build your muscles when you exercise, well, not me necessarily, but others, that when you exercise, your faith has to do the same thing. So how do you, and I think maybe Mike, maybe you can just talk to that a little bit, how do you exercise your faith on a daily basis to build up when there is a crisis, that your coping mechanisms are there and you can lean on Christ in times, because if you don't practice that, you can collapse. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah. And that's a great subject. And I think perhaps to people's surprise, Ross and Chris, I think that preparation, that faith preparation, exercising your spiritual muscles, has to start theologically. There has to be a sound foundation in the scriptures and understanding what the scriptures are actually saying. And when people do that, they become stronger in their faith. They're better able to cope with what comes their way because they're expecting it. Having said that, let me back up and lay the context in the background. We live in a culture today in America that I refer to it in different ways, but for our conversation today, I'll refer to it this way. We live in a Christian culture that has succumbed willingly or unknowingly to your best life now faith. And what that means is Christians are being instructed by their pastors and by their fellow Christians that we are to seek all that life has to offer, and we deserve it because we're the King's kids and we're overcomers and conquerors, and so we should be living our best life now. Now, the problem with that is, of course, that it's not biblical. There's nowhere in the scriptures that says we are to seek a best life now in space and time. We know that our best life is coming in eternity when we spend that with the Lord Jesus and God the Father. But the church has gotten so sideways on this issue. And what that does is that gives people a pretend faith. They have a straw man faith, a paper faith that cannot withstand trials and struggles. I'm constantly amazed at the Jesus that is presented in so many churches today. When I contrast that with the biblical Jesus, we are talking two different people. And I kind of touched on that, Ross, in Dallas. My presentation was, Has Christ Been Divided? And the point that I was making there was he has, in fact, apostasy has done that. The best life now Christian faith has presented a fake Christ that does not strengthen, support, encourage, or enable you to withstand the storms that are coming. The news items of the day tell us that this world is upside down and it's not getting better. Now, that's biblical, too. You read the rest of the story, the entire New Testament, and you know where the direction that we're heading. Now, the church needs to be encouraged today with the truth of the gospel. The church needs to be encouraged today to lean hard into Christ. Now, what that entails, Chris and Ross, in my view, is a total reshaping, rethinking of what we're doing and why we're doing it. And let's start with the individual. If you had asked the average Christian today, are you ready for a serious breach in our economy, in our safety as a nation, in our culture, our lifestyle? Too many Christians think that life here in America is just going to continue to go on uninterrupted like it has for, pretty much their entire life. We really live in, when you compare what we have here in America to the rest of the world, we have sort of a Disney World existence. But I can tell you something, and this is no news flash to you or your listeners. Hard times are coming. And in my view, an overwhelming majority of Christians are not ready for what's coming down the pike. What's going to happen when things really hit the fan and Christians are unprepared? Here's what I think. I think they're going to be sheep led to the slaughter. They're going to be willingly herded in whatever direction those that are still in control determine is best for them. Now, that may sound a bit dystopic or doom and gloom, but I think it's our responsibility, Ross and Chris, to prepare believers for what's coming, not continue to paint this fairy tale picture of what life in America is going to be. Things are changing rapidly, and we better get ready. I hope that answered your question, and of course we can launch out and talk about some other things specifically, but that's where I'm coming from, Ross.
I would agree, Mike, and I think Chris and I want to talk a few more things in the news that kind of re-emphasize what you just talked about getting prepared, because there's so many different moving parts of the world that could inflame us in nanoseconds. So I mean, there was a story over the weekend where some newspaper or one of the newspapers or some media in Asia put up the wrong headline and almost caused a war. So Chris, you want to kind of get into some of these other stories so we can share those with our audience, and then we'll get into the details of how to exercise your faith and things like that, Mike. But I think there's just so much stuff going on. I think, Chris, I think we should really stretch out that today.
Sure. News headlines that are coming across, we'll just kind of cover the highlights. Russia just sent out a warning that we need to be careful in acting unilaterally against North Korea. Russia has a stake in this, and they're trying to hold on. And we've talked about it before. Russia is the one country. Well, there's several, but Russia is the only one that seems to be leading with their head that's not tied into the global currency as it stands. I think you had mentioned in last week's podcast, Ross, that they had perfected the SWIFT system or an alternative to the SWIFT system to exchange money around the world, which has been what's holding others back. We know the other countries that don't agree with our petrodollar, that's Iran, it's Syria, it's North Korea. Are we seeing a pattern here? We're seeing a pattern. We're seeing the catastrophic takeover, and I call it catastrophic because it's going to end in disaster, of world governing. Just because Donald Trump is leading, and he is doing some good things, I think people have given him a lot of bad coverage over the things he's doing when his intentions are, the guy wants to win. His intentions are to make sure that he sends a strong message out there to others and resolves these conflicts that have just been hanging around and dragging us through diplomacy. Well, we can use the word again, catastrophes, forcing us to go to war around the world, which is North Korea, Syria. We got to get these things cleaned up one way or another. And backing down didn't seem like a good option because it made us look weak, and forcing ourselves out there and killing innocent people didn't seem like a good option. So he's bombing military installations specifically. Now, whether you agree or disagree with him, it does appear that the cat is back in the cage, so to speak, in terms of how Washington functions. And that's what's got people worried, is that this whole entire new world order that we've been focused on and how they've been driving us towards this collective conscience and singularity, having all of our minds think alike and being able to cordon us off and feed us what we need, make sure that our energy imprint and take is not too much. That's kind of the technocratic side of things. This is authoritarianism at its height. We saw, particularly this week, because the news is coming so fast, InfoWars delisted on Google. This is huge. That is the number one weapon for the resistance out here, besides the church, which we'll talk about the church and why it's going to be so important to transition over to that because of the loss of freedom of speech online and because of the censorship that's going on, delisting them to the point where Google, according to this article I read, has hired a private company to troll and find all the InfoWars articles out there and videos and everything else and rate them as low to medium in terms of quality. And by doing that, they're giving the credibility to, is it Snopes? The news organization, the phony news organization that was quoted as being able to decipher what's fake news and what's not. This is frightening. This tells you that Donald Trump and all of the executive power that he has assumed is not going to necessarily be able to stop this mess. The bureaucracies continue. Just to digress for a moment, is an economic disaster lying ahead for us? And is that the only way for a number of things to happen? And I'll lay them out. One is Donald Trump could be doing that, could be allowing that to happen with the debt ceiling passing in order to take the power away from the bureaucracies. But the bureaucracies may be thinking that this is going to take the power away from Trump. Ultimately, if it causes chaos, it's going to make people desperate. And people are going to be begging for a solution. And of course, the government is going to step in and say, we'll solve the problem. We'll trade you. We'll take away more of your privacy for your security, for your economic security in this case, because we know we're facing some economic peril here. And so this, all three of these, though, seem to be on a collision course. One or the other is going to be the outcome of this. And ultimately, it's going to consolidate more power. And this is scary to me, Ross.
Oh, agreed. I mean, the Americans have already agreed to give up much of their freedoms. Just look, trying to get on an aircraft. I mean, we've seen numerous stories of hellish type of adventures on United Airlines, to just recently the guy getting dragged off the aircraft, as well as this couple going to get married got pulled off the aircraft. So, but Americans have agreed to getting groped and scanned and watched naked in the middle of the airport, handicapped people, old women, and getting groped. And they've actually loosened some of those rules as well, and make it even worse, where they can invade your privacy. But people just go ahead and go, like it's just sheep or cattle going to slaughter. So until Americans say, hell no, I can't take it anymore, like that old movie back in the 80s, you just have to get to the point where we have to say, no, I'm not going to do that. But Christians, and Mike, you can chime in here, Christians don't stand up. They really just kind of go along, and they have their bread and circus, and they just really don't care. And I think we talked about this on the last show, almost every show, is to turn your TV off, because that's one way they can control you. To your point, Chris, I mean, there's all of these things that just people are willing, because they create the problem. They already have the solution figured out, and they know how they can make the sheep go to and fro. And you just drive the herd, and whether it's left, right, in the middle, it's not really a left, right paradigm anymore. It's not a red, blue paradigm anymore. It's just one governing group trying to drive through. And I think Trump had good intention. He got there, and I think he's been, I've said this, I think he's either, knows a deal. He knows when to hold him, and he knows when to fold him. And he has done some good things. He put a good guy in the Supreme Court. He's doing some other things that I think that are going to be positive once he can push them through. But at the same time, he's kind of playing with fire with the establishment. And I think we talked about a story with John McCain saying, well, it's a good thing he's getting back inside the establishment, back into the globalist mindset. And you know, everybody on this radio and my listeners know what I think about John McCain. So, I mean, he's the epitome of the establishment just putting a boot on the back of everybody's neck. And you think a guy that spent all that time in a prison camp would want freedom for his people, but I don't necessarily think that's the case. Where do you stop? When do you stop? I mean, you have to eventually stop looking at all the news and start acting and start again to the fact of building your faith and start keeping your preparations. If you do nothing but look at the news and listen to radio shows, which I think people should do, but I've had people call me that I'm so scared, I don't know what to do. And I said, well, turn off the radio, turn off the internet. God already told you what you need to do. Just execute. And I think we have the paralysis of analysis like many others do. You just have to stop and move forward and forget, just God told you what to do. Just execute, be obedient.
Yeah, Ross and Chris, one of the most amazing features of the times that we live in today for me is that we've been warned about this for years. We've been warned about it in the scriptures. People have ignored them about what's going to transpire in the last days. We're seeing these things, but we've also been warned culturally. I'm thinking back on authors. Dostoevsky, for example, told us what would happen if we ever allowed a government to get out of control. That so many of his novels were written about the Christian life and needing to be strong in your faith. And people that weren't believers, Aldous Huxley, for example, you can read his works, Brave New World. And he flat out tells people, listen, the day's going to come when people are going to be just herded around like sheep or cattle, and they're going to love their enslavement because they've been given just enough to get by. I remember a book 30 years ago now by Neil Postman. I think it was entitled Amusing Ourselves to Death. And he talked about how Americans would become enslaved to entertainment. And that's an aspect we even see creeping into the church. Worship has now become entertainment. And I don't even need to mention George Orwell. I mean, his literature turned out to be very prophetic. We've been warned about all of this stuff, and yet people continue to ignore the signs. And that is it's a head scratcher for me as a pastor. But we have to press on and continue to speak the truth and teach the truth. Now, One of the things that I tell folks is that if you're out there, you're a Bible teacher, you're a pastor, you're a ministry leader, and you preach or teach the truth, you speak the truth, you give an evaluation or an interpretation to the things that are happening today, if you tell folks, well, this is why our government is doing this, this is why our economy is in a shambles, you begin doing that, I'm guaranteeing you that you're going to see a division between the sheep and the goats, because the goats aren't going to hang around to listen to that. They want goat food. And if you give a consistent diet of sheep food, i.e. the scriptures, and a cultural timely interpretation, how those apply and what we're seeing, what you're going to be left with is a very strong, able-bodied fellowship of sheep. And that's what you want anyway. So back to you, Chris.
No, I'm with you on that. And looking at some of the articles that, again, we pull a lot of our information from articles, podcasts, and other places. We do have some folks that I wouldn't call them on the inside, but they're informed. You talked about the Meet the Press interview with John McCain, Ross. And that was with our dear Chuck Wadd friend there that always does good interviews that are slanted. If you want to get the most compromised information you can listen to, that's probably a good place to start. I saw another article about them crafting potentially an economic crash, and not to get everyone worried, because I think a lot of us already assume this, but we've seen Yellen raising interest rates, and this happened in 1929 as well. This is what caused 1929, according to some, and they're continuing to do that right now. They're raising interest rates, and I know they've got to do it to get people to buy our fiat treasuries. But at any rate, it seems to me the bigger point here is not what each headline says. It seems to me that we are living in a perfect storm. And as Mike indicated a few minutes ago, we have to be prepared. And so the real question here, as we watch these Berkeley riots that unfolded over the weekend, and we see the explosion of population and the inability of humanity to keep up, and the replacing of human help with robots and so, and AI, and it just gets so deep here. The real question is, when we say cut off the TV, cut off the radio, and get to work doing God's work, what does that really mean? And what does it mean in terms of preparedness? Most people listen, they listen for the fodder, they listen for the information, the news, but they also listen for some unique ideas and palpable things that they can take with them away from the show and get started. And I know the Bible is loaded with them, but sometimes it's up to us to help bring light to those and put them in layman's terms, New International Version terms, so that people can understand that that Bible is a living document. It's literally telling you what happened in the past, what's happening now, and what's going to happen. It's alive. It's breathing, that document. What does it mean in terms of living with it?
Yeah, well, that's a great, great point. I like to remind people, Chris and Ross, that God's truth is hidden in plain sight. In other words, people say, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. What am I? Well, open up the scripture and start reading. And the one place that I like to take people to first when they say, well, what should I be doing in these times? Well, the first thing that you need to do is be obedient to the so-called Great Commission. I remind people it's not the Great Suggestion, but it's a Great Commission, where Jesus said, all authority and power has been given to me on heaven and earth. And then there are some key words in those verses that follow. And he says, go, therefore. Now, what he's saying there is that, and you gentlemen know this is true, I certainly do as a pastor. We just had Easter 2 days ago, Resurrection Day. And used to be when I was a kid, the church would be packed on Easter and Christmas with people that thought it was their obligation to show up on those 2 days. You didn't see them any other time of the year. But guess what? That's not the case anymore. I think we had three or four visitors Resurrection Day, but those were actually family members of people that attended anyway. And so the point is this. The church has gotten accustomed to this new recent teaching that is unbiblical, that if we'll just fashion and make the church palatable to the lost, or if we offer programs, or if we appeal to their sense of need or something, that the lost will come to the church. Well, that's not going to happen. Besides that, Jesus said we're to go to them, but we're to go to them with a particular message, to go and make disciples, go everywhere and do that. You're going to baptize them then as they make a profession of faith, and you're going to teach them everything that Jesus taught. And by the way, that means Genesis to Revelation, because Jesus was the Word, and so you teach them the Word. You make disciples of the Lord Jesus. Now, after you do that, there are some things that you need to do to prepare, because, again, we're living in some very dangerous times. And so as I think about that, there are things that we need to be teaching people to do. One of the ways that you can get people's attention immediately is to ask them, and this is assuming, of course, that they have a family, they have a spouse and children, but you ask them, is your family important to you? And of course, you know, you're going to get a very quizzical look, no doubt. Oh, of course my family is important to me. Well, then you ask them, well, if they're important, what plans do you have already in place to ensure that they are taken care of, whether it's an unforeseen emergency that is short term, or something that's a little longer term, or for perhaps your sudden death? Would your family be taken care of in that event? And that really gets people thinking about this whole topic of preparedness. And I know I'm preaching to the choir with you guys, but we need to get people thinking in this direction. Life isn't going to continue to go on like it is right now. Look at the headlines. Everything that you've talked about and you talk about day after day after day, folks need to get a plan together, and they need to do that immediately. Now, some people are going to be overwhelmed by that, and they're going to say, well, where do I even start? Well, you start by taking small steps, but you take those small steps consistently. And so you start living intentionally. You start living strategically. That means that you need to be thinking about, okay, basic survival. Would my family be able to survive for a week if the grocery store was shut down? 2 weeks? A month? Do we have enough water put back? What would happen if somebody decided they were going to take my supplies? Do you have any means to protect yourself, or are you just going to be vulnerable? So you need to begin thinking of things in those terms. And what I've found, Ross and Chris, is when you start talking to people like this and you start pointing out the likelihood of America becoming that scenario, given the headlines and what's going on, people start taking you much more serious. I think it's our duty as the remnant body to wake people up out of this stupor that they're in America. There's been a mass deception that has really gripped our nation and has put people to sleep. Yeah, they'll moan and groan about the politicians and about the deficit and all of these things, but they're not doing anything about it. And moaning and groaning about something without taking action is useless. So I think that's a good place that we can start. We're talking about exercising our faith. Well, put your faith into action. Put steps, put feet to your faith, and begin preparing. The Bible says that the one who is slothful will not take care of his family is worse than an infidel. And I take that personally. It's a responsibility that men should have, and that's not to the exclusion of women. I'm just saying that the husband, the father, the head of the household should be ensuring their family is protected, taken care of in every aspect possible. And I know that people can reach out to you through this show, and you'd be happy to send them more information. I'd be happy to do the same. Anybody that contacts me, I'd be happy to help them with further resources. I'll bounce it back to you guys.
Sure. And Mike, yeah, we're going to be putting up about a 16-page document written by one of our future guests, Sig Svorsen, and he's given you it's going to be a free ebook download. It should be on the site on remnantradionetwork.com here shortly. But it kind of gives you solid steps of what you can do and what you should do to prepare. And it also, we always talk about no man or woman or person is an island. So banding together with like-minded people, yes, create a mutual assistance group, talk to neighbors that you know that are like-minded, you know, and it's going to be a very delicate conversation with some people, because there may be neighbors that are preppers, but their OPSEC is just like yours. So you have to walk into those gingerly. And then even with family, I have many family members that think that what I do and what Chris and I do, all of us are doing, we're just nuts. And I said, what happens if this goes down or that goes? Well, we're just going to come to your house. I said, well, you better bring some gold with you, because because there's no free ticket to paradise, brother. So you need to prepare. And so they just think you're nuts. And so it's like, well, okay, we'll see. And at the end of the day, if praise God that nothing does come about it that brings this to happen, but we know the scriptures say otherwise. So we can't put our head in the sand, but there are just so many stories that are telling us that we're just heading in the wrong direction. But you have people, because to your point, Christians need to get up off their backsides and get to work. And we said that on almost every podcast now for the last 4 weeks or 6 weeks now, I think, Chris. And then, but then you look at the enemy and Berkeley, they have thousands of people. Then there's on May Day, which is the big communist workers' day, Facebook, the story of today, Facebook is letting their people go march against Trump. But I guess they're marching against Trump, which means they're marching against traditional values in many ways. So there are a lot of people with or without notice, just take the day off and go march. And they're expecting all of their vendors to do the same. And they'll penalize people that don't let them do it. The enemy is well-organized, well-funded. Even though Hillary said today that the 2016 election was her last, but that doesn't mean she can't be in there stirring the pot along with Obama, still stirring the pot unless he's on somebody's, you know, billionaire's boat with Tom Hanks and Oprah and Bruce Springsteen, the brain trust of the brain trust of foolishness. The average Christian, again, needs to get up and move, go, and, you know, read the Bible, pray, and then go. Don't just sit there and think, well, mañana, I'll do it tomorrow. When it's time to take action is today. It was actually yesterday. And Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
To be honest with you, I'm pulling up some additional breaking news articles to talk about preparedness. And the reason I'm doing that is because, as I indicated earlier in the show, the news is changing constantly. Now, we need to stay steady as Christians. And I agree with what Mike was saying, that you have to prepare little by little. And Ross is right. It's biblical, and you can go into the Bible for this. I believe that some of the most successful survivalists out here in terms of civilization and in terms of understanding old world techniques and values, even though I'm not one of them, are the Mormons. They really have this down. If you don't know this, you will know it by the end of this podcast. You can go online to their LDS website. I'm not encouraging you to support Mormons. If you're not a Mormon, that's fine. If you are, that's fine. I don't care. But they have canning operations all over the United States. I mean, if nothing else, go in there and learn and find out what you need to know to prepare your own family, to understand how to preserve the food instead of throwing it in the trash, which is what a lot of people do. They've got a plate or an extra piece of food item in the fridge, and instead of saving it or freezing it or doing something with it, they just throw it out. They don't repurpose vegetables and fruits that are a little aged. They don't understand that, I don't know, half a century ago, that was being done. People were preserving some of these things. So we're not only irresponsible in preparing, but we're irresponsible in preserving what we already have. And if you want to look at this in a symbolic way, we treat our faith and we treat the church and we treat God like we treat our food. We leave half a plate full and dump it in the trash. We don't try to preserve our heritage. We don't try to preserve our beliefs. We live in a nation where it's encouraged to constantly be in motion, to be in a state of change, that's progress. But this time, it's not progress. We're falling from this. It's killing us. We have no sense of preservation. My own wife comes from a much poorer culture in terms of their economics, but they don't waste food and they don't waste their opportunity to worship God, and they don't waste their opportunity to do something good because they have limited resources. They have to pray more to hold on to what they have, and they have to spend more time valuing the things that they have and finding a way to use them so that they're not wasteful. We talk about losing the battle with keeping up with humanity's growth and the use of resources around the world and how we're at peak oil and we're at the, you know, all this different stuff they've come up with these terms for. We're not at peak oil. It's bogus. We're not out of resources. We're out of people that understand how to take care of them, and we're the biggest wasters of them. And the level of detail and care we give to the things in our life that are blessings seems to be a reflection of the level of care we give to our liberty to go worship God. Guys?
Oh, I'm right there with you, Chris. I mean, I remember going to some of the school under Michelle Obama's lunch program. I think it's been repealed now, but you go to the schools and these kids would have these apples or bananas and undrinking milk and unused, and they would throw them all in the trash. And I said, why can't we take those and give them to you? Oh, no, you can't do that. That's against the rule. So they would, but the kids were forced to take these things that they knew they weren't going to eat, and then they would just throw them directly in the trash. I mean, I had some teachers that would actually take these milks and put them in the special needs rooms for the kids there. And so why can't we give these apples away or give these bananas away or unused portions of food? And they said, no, it's against the government rules. And they forced these kids to take this food. And so we're trying to work with this district. And you just get nowhere because the sheer amount of, they make it so painful to make any kind of change and get to a school board and all of the red tape. It's like it forces people to do things underground to try to make things, teachers that just slip milks into the refrigerators and things like that, or apples or, you know, whatever the food stuff is. Instead of following and making the rules where it's easier, they make the rules so it's difficult, and because you're a lawbreaker then, or you're putting your job at risk for doing the right thing. And we're finding that across our entire country. That's just one little illustration of what's right is wrong and wrong is right. The whole paradigm of our life is switched upside down. All of the people that create chaos are the ones that just get the most, I guess, most publicity, or they get the most money out of it. And the rest of us that are trying to do the right thing are poo-pooed on and considered crackpots, or I'm sure the three of us are labeled extremists already because we live our faith.
Yeah, there's a reason for that too, Ross. And Chris actually spoke the key word, and it was progress. That word progress is such a loaded word by definition, and this escapes a lot of folks. Progress by definition is couched within a modernist, secularist, scientific, really scientism. Progress, if you would ask the average American today what progress is, I'll tell you their definition would almost always fit within a modernist viewpoint. What that means is this, and this is the reason I'm making the point. Progress for most Americans is distancing themselves from the supernatural realm. Progress is technology. Progress is science. Progress is not eternity. It isn't God. It isn't drawing closer to Him by faith. Progress is putting a distance or more distance between our Maker, Creator, Savior, and our lives. So that's one of those words, it's very tricky. And every time I hear somebody use that, I say, well, I'm going to have to unpack that for them because they don't really comprehend or grasp what they're saying when they use that term. And I think that's where even the political ideology of progressivism comes from. It is still rooted in that same thing. And that's why they advocate for same-sex marriage. That's why they advocate for transgenderism. That's why they advocate for every kind of sexual deviancy under the sun, because they want to distance themselves from the Creator. Progress and progressivism is not what people think it is. It is actually demonic.
That is a great point.
Right. I was going to say they're deconstructing the rights and wrongs of our past. And if you cling to those, your guns and Bibles and all that kind of stuff, as Obama would say, you know, they're deconstructing all of that. But suddenly we're xenophobes now. We want to hold on to our heritage, right? And so they find every kind of label for you to marginalize your belief system, marginalize you, try to embarrass you or humiliate you into marching to the same tune. And if you don't, now in Berkeley, they're going to beat the hell out of you because they don't want to hear what you have to say. So it's just absolute craziness. Sorry, Chris, go ahead. I kind of stepped on you as well. Sorry about that.
Well, no, that's hailing what a great point Mike made. We both wanted to jump in, and this is at the crux of it for me. This idea of self-preservation and heritage preservation. A lot of people talk about heritage preservation as if we're trying to preserve the worst parts of our past. We know what the sins of our nation are. Sins that are happening right now. We've got sins that are being financed for the future, and we've got sins that we've committed in the past. We know the racial sins of our country. We know all of these sins, but we also know that we've been marching down a path of trying to mend those fences. We've done at times a great job and at times a very poor job. I think that Donald Trump ran on the idea that he was going to be a mender of those fences, so to speak. I don't know if that's going to happen, but understanding that having a little bit of courage for self-preservation is the coolest thing you can do. And I don't mean self-preservation as in worry about your reputation. I mean self-preservation is God gave you this life. I mean, you were provided this life, and you've been provided a passage into eternal life if you take the right teachings and you do the right things. And people have no sense of preserving anything in this life. And we've all seen so much news. And to understand how close we are to nuclear war, and some people believe it's just crazy that we would think we would go to war with nuclear bombs, and other people believe it's completely plausible. But the point is, we're on the verge. If we launch on North Korea, this is not going to be a clean strike with no repercussions. This is going to have tremendous repercussions. And those people in their leadership, if they survive, are going to do their best to get us back, to get back at us, even if they go down doing it, because they're bent on making sure the West gets a message. And so the danger here of something catastrophic interrupting the system is enormous. These EMP-type devices, well, they're nuclear, shut down a grid. You're not just talking about losing your electricity for a couple days or a week or a month. And this has been covered in great detail. I know that the Congress is going to take up the issue in terms of protecting our grid. I know they're doing it with the Pentagon already. But it's not the lack of electricity that will kill people. It's the lack of sanitation. It's the lack of food. It's the pandemics, the epidemics, and every other type of demic that goes on. And if you're not prepared, we don't mean just go stock up on dried foods and water. We mean things to clean your bottom, medical stuff for small scrapes and cuts. This is your duty with your community. This is your duty as a brother and a sister in Christ. This is your duty biblically. And some people take it a lot more seriously, especially people that have faced these types of situations. Again, going back to my wife's country, third world status, they know better. Of course, they have some problems too. They don't accumulate supplies. They preserve what they have as long as they can. And we need to have that sensibility about our own culture and about our own people. Ross, you were talking about Berkeley. Watching the videos from that, the attacks that were going on were vicious from both sides. And I understand that the Trump supporters were in self-defense for much of that. And it has been the case for months. But it doesn't take that many people to destabilize things. And as I've said in previous podcasts, if you get a group of people here that are put out with the system, they're rebelling, this is a revolution, and they don't know who's supporting, they don't care that it's Soros or some of these other nefarious figures out here. They just think revolution. But the problem with this is that the countries outside, the rogue regimes outside, the organizations outside the United States that mean us harm, see these people here and say, you know what? We need to infiltrate the United States and we need to get a hold of these people because they're going to be doing our dirty work.
Useful idiots is what they'll consider them.
They've already been doing it, but now it's going to another level because we're threatening nuclear attacks. We're threatening, nothing's off the table, and we're conducting attacks. This just changed. The game just changed. And if you don't realize how perilous this is, you're asleep, man. I don't know what's going to happen to you.
Well, one thing that many people don't think about is, you lose your power and it's going to be hot, or your refrigeration of your food and the disease. But the thing that people don't talk about is, what if you're diabetic? What if you're on psychotropic drugs? What if you're on high blood pressure medication? Or all those things that you need to survive, or you have a heart condition, or anything like, because those supplies are going to drop. They're not going to be available, especially if there's an electricity. Insulin dies quickly, so you have to be prepared for all those kind of things. What do you, again? I think they said an EMP could kill 90% of the American population if it's a full scale over the whole country. But the other thing is, doesn't have to be an EMP. Hackers can bring down our grid as well. So you can get into it and cause an EMP simply by overriding the systems and causing it to implode on itself. So you can push electricity into the transformers and bring them down. There's all kinds of things they can do through cyber warfare to bring our grid down as well. So people have to be prepared for that. And there's just a lot of things, as you said, beyond food and water. and how many, you know, if anybody that's been in a hurricane knows how uncomfortable it is to be 2 weeks without power and how it changes your life. And I've read lots of articles of people that have suddenly become preppers because of the natural events that have happened to them, that they said, well, I'm not going to live like that ever again. So that's, again, we just have to get that mindset that we have to be prepared. And you can't think that, I mean, although God can do it, it's not necessarily that manna is going to fall from the sky and you're going to be able to collect it up on the ground like the Israelis did. So you're going to have to, God's given you the ability to prepare for yourself and prepare for others. And to my point, I put my tithe of 10% in my preparations for those, my neighbors and some relatives and things like that. But I don't know if everybody does that or not, but I mean, I do that simply because God tells me to be out there and reach out to folks. So
I certainly hope folks that are listening to this conversation will take this to heart, especially Christians, that they'll take this to heart. And the reason why this is so important, what we've been discussing here, is this. Christians need to understand that the government of the United States is not our friend. They are not our friend. You cannot count on them when it hits the fan. They are not going to be there to rescue you. If they start segregating people and making determinations about who they're going to feed and who they're going to clothe and who they're going to take care of. Listen, do you need any other evidence than that the courts in the United States will fine a business owner $130,000 and put them out of business because they refused to bake a cake for gay people? Is there any doubt in anyone's mind that's listening to this that the government of the United States of America is not the friend of Christians? You cannot count on them to take care of you if these scenarios transpire, or should I say, when they transpire, not if. And so I appreciate you guys pointing that out, the entire conversation that we've had. It's time for Christians to stand up, wake up, man up, and do the job that they're meant to do in these last times. And I tell people about Jesus, bring him into the kingdom, and with your other hand, get prepared for what's coming. Don't be that one that was left when the Lord came back.
The government is contradistinct at this point. They're the antithesis of what we're about. It's not that we're enemies of the government. It's just that the government was supposed to be for the people, by the people, of the people. And it's another class of people is what it really is.
I just want to point one scripture passage out for your readers, and they can do some additional study on this, but I call people's attention to Romans chapter 13, and everybody knows Romans chapter 13 talks about our responsibility to civil government. But a passage in there, listen, it says this, verse 3, Romans 13, rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil, okay? That's what governments are supposed to do, reward good, punish evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now, as you read that passage, the context of it is very clear. God established authority in governments, and they're meant to do good. But by whose definition? By God's definition. They're to do God's good. Can anybody argue in this day and age that there is any government on the face of the earth, and I'll put the United States government at the top of the list, that is actually seeking to do good as God defines it? I would argue that they're doing just the opposite. They're poking God in the eye, spitting in his face, and telling them they will not do good by God's standards. That kind of a government, brothers and sisters, and this may shock some people coming from a pastor, but I've preached this from the pulpit, so I'm not concerned about saying it now. This kind of government that we have in the United States that is clearly anti-Christian, anti-God, we do not owe allegiance to that kind of government that clearly is opposed to God. They are opposed to God and his people. End of rant.
Well, you're on the list, brother. You're on the list.
I have been for a while, brother.
I mean, get a good seat on the train. So,
yeah.
So, Chris, I mean, you and I talk about this on the air and off the air a lot. And I think to Mike's point is, again, people point to Romans 13 and you're supposed to follow the rules of the government. But that's if it's a godly, lawful government that's doing the right thing. I don't feel any compulsion to go send my children off to die in a war that's strictly designed for oligarchs and the banking system. And so you look, and one thing I wanted to talk about, because Chris, you were talking about the sins of our past and the racial things and slavery. But if you look today, the country that we conquered recently, Libya, has open slave markets in their cities where you can go and buy and sell somebody with impunity. So most of them, North Africans and conquered peoples and Christians and Yemenis and things like that. But you have people being openly traded in slave markets to this very day. You can buy somebody for less than $100. Right. So their organizations are going out there and buying these slaves and freeing them. Unfortunately, those people get picked up and put back in the market again. Americans are asleep to think of, well, yeah, we conquered this. Let's get the ruler out. Look how great we are. But then they don't think of the ripple effect of all of that. To your point, our government is not just. There's so many things that are wrong. Are we better than many others? Yes, but there's plenty others that are better. And so how do you, we again have to justify our faith saying we're going to obey God first, take care of our family second, and then obey our government third, and very last. And sometimes it takes us not obeying government because it's full of oligarchs and the deep state and all, they don't care about us. So right. It's all about God and family first, and then do what you can, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But at the same time, you don't want to feed the dragon. You want to starve the dragon if you can at the same time. So that's what we do in various different books that we have. And like Survival 401k, we help you starve that dragon. At the end of the day, we need to focus on God. And how do you do that? And I guess, Mike, before we get to the top of the hour and we're finishing up, can you give us some steps that people can do to exercise? What 25-pound barbell or 24-pound handbell that you can use to strengthen your faith? Do you have any quick tips for that?
Of course. And these some people will say, well, that's easy. Well, if it's so easy, then why aren't more believers doing it? So the first thing that folks need to do is they need to get into the scriptures. They need to discipline themselves to read the scriptures. We've become a culture that is so visually stimulated that sitting down and meditating on a subject or the words that we're reading and allow the Holy Spirit to speak life into our souls has become not just passé, but almost unconscionable. People just won't take the time to do it. So first thing, start reading the scriptures. That's how you will be instructed and guided and equipped and understand who God is and understand his eternal truths. And by the way, as you do that and along that journey of studying, meditating on the scriptures, he's going to give you your marching orders. He's going to give you your assignments. He's going to encourage you to step out and go and do for the kingdom. So that's the first thing. You cannot neglect prayer, guys. I think sometimes in our go-do mindset, you know, I'm a type A kind of person when I start preaching, but I need to be a type A type person in the doing of what's necessary too. So that's praying that equips you. That's part of our spiritual armor, you know, Ephesians chapter 6. I would recommend that people start fasting. People start fasting on a regular basis. And I'm not talking to trim some pounds off. I'm talking about fasting, denying yourself, sacrificing with the intent and purpose of hearing from God. You're asking God to speak to you and give you instructions and encourage you. And what you're going to find out as you fast is that he will do exactly that. You will be drawn closer to him, which is exactly what we need. Then, and again, some of the things that I say, are people think they're controversial. I don't think they're controversial because of the truth, but be that as it may. Find a good Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church. And I know that's not as easy as it used to be. You need to find a fellowship of like-minded believers that are just studying the scriptures. They're not Sunday after Sunday hearing the pastor's hobby horse theology. You want to dig deep into the scriptures, and you need to do that together in community. We were made to share life together, Christians, in community, in fellowship. So find that community. And listen, if you don't have a local church, brick and mortar building that you can go to, start one yourself. If you've got like-minded believers, start one yourself in your own home. Or absent that, join somebody online. There are a lot of good fellowships that are broadcasting their services online every Sunday, every Wednesday. We do that at my church. So those are some things that, that'll get you started in that. And then please take seriously the things that Chris and Ross have encouraged you to do. Put plans into place. Get your food stores where they need to be. Your water supplies where they need to be. Get some precious metal, gold and silver, where it needs to be. And don't neglect the ammo. You're going to need it real soon. Back to you guys.
Jumping back in for just a minute. Thanks, Mike. That was beautiful. And you can take these, we call them tips, but they're really very spiritual components of your life. And understand that when you surround yourself with people that have this mentality, the very type of practices that Mike is encouraging, you'll also find like-minded people that are preparing, because this is common knowledge among folks like us. And there are these folks out here. You just have to speak up. You have to find them. Yes, you're going to be labeled. You're going to be called crazy. Everybody in history that did anything good, including people that weren't noteworthy in a book, had to take a chance. And we've said this before, don't focus on your reputation, focus on your character, focus on doing the right thing, and don't worry what everybody else is saying. You don't have to go around announcing it to everyone either, because they'll know you have preps and you become a target. However, you do need to find a community. It's so critical. We're going to have a show guest next week that is going to go into the importance of community in terms of survival. He also has a faith background, but an incredible guest, just like all of our guests, brings something valuable to the table that we wouldn't have thought of or wouldn't have shared with you alone. And I'll let Ross expand on that for just a minute before we close out the show.
Yeah, Sig is our next guest, a mirror mindset of as Mike. He has a strong faith background. He's got a law enforcement SWAT background, and he also runs tactical camps in multiple places in Texas. But his big thing, as you mentioned, Chris, is community and community of believers. Secular, obviously everybody has secular friends and things of that nature, but when it gets down to the rubber meets the road, you need to have fellow believers that have your back, and people need to be trained, and they need to know what they need to do, and they have to be prepared. So you can have all of this gear and all of this preps and all of this food, as Mike is saying, what we need, but if you don't, number one, have your faith in the right place, but number two, train in it, what good is it going to do? If you don't know how to use that particular piece of gear, if you bought a ham radio, some biofangs, handhelds, but you know how to use it, you haven't programmed it, well, what good? That's just another doorstop. So there's a lot of things that we have and we can buy, and money buys a lot of things in the prep world, but you have to train with it. You have to use it. And that's where Sig is going to be getting into. And he's got a great book out called Guns, Guts, and God. And it's a great book to read, and how you can get prepared. And there's some primers. He's come out with some new books. And that, again, that ebook that we'll be putting on the site kind of goes into this. But please listen to what Mike was telling you on your tips. Read your Bible, pray, fast, confess, repent. All those things that the Bible talks about doing, we need to do. And it's not just some lip service. Oh, yeah, I'll get to it tomorrow. You need to do that when you finish listening to this podcast. It'll be Friday, or it could be Thursday, but if you're hearing this on Friday over the Global Star Network, start this over the weekend. Go when you go to church on Sunday, just make a confess your sins, like we do it like it's rote, but take the initiative, go do, but stop and reflect at the same time what you're doing and why you're doing it. So, Chris, I think the next series of guests we're going to have are coming up, many of them like Mike from Hear the Watchman, and we've known Mike from On the Objective and things of that nature. But God is calling you. If you're feeling that push in the back of in between your shoulder blades to start doing it, start listening, take a fun step forward. Because if you just sit there, you're never going to get prepared. So I just thank Mike for being on board. And Chris, again, it's always a pleasure to do the podcast with you, because you bring such knowledge and such depth of content that it's phenomenal. And that's what's helped our show grow so quickly. So thank you to both of you. We couldn't do it without you. And we look forward to having you back on, Mike.
Thank you very much, guys. I enjoyed it, and I appreciate what you're doing. So God bless you both.
To you the same, Mike. We appreciate having you on today, and God bless you and your family and your community, and keep doing the great work you're doing. For our listeners, you can find more about Dr. Mike Spaulding at drmikespaulding.com. You can also listen to him on Soaring Eagle Radio. That's On the Objective on Spreaker. You can also find him on iTunes, YouTube, and I'm sure various other places. You've got a website as well that has your Soaring Eagle Radio show on there. So Mike, thanks so much for coming on, and tune back in next week. Make sure you listen and spread the good word around to your friends and family out there. We need as many people as we can to fight this. God bless.